My name is Anne Milton Warsell and I'm doing your readings today. If you want to find your Bible, the first reading is taken from the book of Acts, which is the first book after the Gospels in the New Testament. And it's Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. This is the Gospel of God. Praise to you, O Christ.
And now we will listen to John preaching God's word to us.
Good morning. My name is John. I'm one of the licensed lay ministers here in this parish. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. I went to a Church of England junior school. I used to really like Ascension Day. We went to school at the normal time, walked together down to the parish church, which was very close, and had a service. Then we went home. A holiday most of the schools didn't have. I'm not sure that is the best reason for remembering it, however. It's part of the continuing story which began at Christmas. Or even before, I suppose, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, or perhaps even earlier than that. The story of the Ascension is told twice by Luke, once at the end of his Gospel, and also at the beginning of his second book, The Acts of the Apostles, which Anne read for us a few moments ago. Luke tells us that Jesus spent this time between the resurrection and the Ascension giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. These instructions seem to have consisted of two basic things. First of all, he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive in verse 3. And this went on for nearly 6 weeks as he appeared to them and taught them. And second, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God in the same verse. Like the two on the road to Emmaus who had a wonderful Bible study, the disciples were receiving great teaching. Jesus commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He was telling them that they would miss out if they were not there at the right time, but they had to wait. And we're certainly learning something about waiting at the moment. The ascension is part and parcel of the resurrection story. And to me, it's a reminder of the words Jesus spoke on the cross. "It is finished." I don't think that from what we know of the Lord Jesus, he would have left this world with the reason he came to Bethlehem some 30 years before being incomplete. Everything was done. No one can take away from what he has done, and no one can add to it. I want to mention three things. The ascension is when Jesus was exalted. According to Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 20, he, God, raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The ascension is the exaltation of Christ, lifting him up on high. And three quick points about this. Exaltation means that Jesus now reigns in heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God, as we heard from the end of St. Mark's Gospel. In this position, he commands our worship. We're told about that in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 9. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He commands our worship because he deserves our worship. Exaltation also means that Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes for us with God. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 24 says, "Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." We are indeed fortunate to have such an intermediary. Jesus himself said in John 14, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is our only mediator and advocate. And also, exaltation means that Jesus is no longer limited to one place on earth. Yes, he could suddenly appear in different places, but seated at God's right hand, he can be approached by all of us, wherever we are. We can all know his presence, wherever we are. There is now no limit on him at all. In fact, the message of the ascension could be that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, because he is available to all the time. The disciples were unable to take in that Jesus was going to die and then rise again when he told them that it was going to happen. But now that it has happened, there's been a change. Here, Jesus is leaving them for always, and you'd expect them to be sad and forlorn. At the end of St. Luke's Gospel, it tells us that after Jesus had been taken up into heaven, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They discovered more and more about this joy in the years that followed. Secondly, Jesus made a promise. In Acts chapter 1, the beginning of verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He promised a comforter, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and what a gift. But Pentecost is next Sunday, so I don't need to preach about the Holy Spirit. That will follow next week. that this is the promise and so needs to be mentioned. The Ascension leads us to worship Jesus, and it also dictates our way of life as it presents us with our entry into the kingdom of God. Without the Holy Spirit, where would our worship be? How could we live the Christian life? What a promise this has proved to be. But finally, it doesn't stop there, however. That verse, verse 8 in our reading, continues, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus appoints us as witnesses. They are to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, so the surrounding area, then Samaria, then neighbouring country, where the people they do not like live, and then to the whole world. This must have seemed impossible to that group of 11 who had followed Jesus for 3 years. For us, we are called to be witnesses in Ashdod and in Surrey and in all the United Kingdom and to the ends of the earth. This does not mean that we all have to go away and become world travellers. But nor does it mean we should sit at home and leave it to everyone else. Paul also said that we cannot all be prophets or preachers or teachers, etc. But we can all be something. We must all be something. We are called to worship. We are promised the Holy Spirit. We are equipped to witness. Notice what the Holy Spirit does for us in that verse in our reading, verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. We're empowered for the impossible. And what does this mean? Witnessing entails two things: telling truth and doing truth. Every time we proclaim the biblical message, we tell truth. Every time we express love to a neighbour, we do the truth. The opportunities we have during the present pandemic are many. We need to pray for God's guidance and the power of His Holy Spirit to take these opportunities as we show kindness and love to our neighbours. As we pray for them, and share the prayer cards which Richard mentioned in his letter 2 weeks ago and are on the website. Not only are we called to worship, not only are we promised the Holy Spirit, but we're empowered for the impossible. And that is what is the result of the promise that Jesus gave to his apostles and so to us just before his ascension, and is available to us now because of the Ascension. Amen.